You've used your skills to download the Triple M Rush Hour Catch-Up podcast. Turn your skills into a nationally recognised qualification. Check out skillscertified.com.au.
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Wings is 2 inches clear. Sticks on, then came Hartnell, but she's well clear, Winks, inside the final 100 metres. Today we farewell an Australian icon, the greatest of all time.
The millions around the world have waited for. Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory.
Today's the official announcement of my retirement, effective immediately. It's been an incredible journey. I've done my first pre-season when I was 16. 32 years old now, and you know my body hasn't given up on me, but I think it's time for me, and it's the right decision for
myself.
What
a 48 hours of sport we've just been through, MG.
Yeah, a trifecta of sporting emotion that we I don't think we'll ever see again.
Winks rides off into the sunset with win number 33 at Randwick Saturday afternoon in front of 43,000. So we're going to speak to Hugh Bowman,
yes,
who was the jockey on board Winks that fateful race Saturday afternoon. He's going to join us in about 15 minutes' time. In the early hours of this morning, Tiger Woods triumphed at the Masters to win his first major in 11 years after so much pain, both physical and mental.
So good to see his two children with him, Sam and Charlie, who are 11 and 10 respectively, and it was a fantastic story.
Fox League's Ben Eichen, who was standing on the 18th green when Tiger sunk that winning putt. He is going to join us in about half an hour's time. And at 11:30 today, MG, Greg Inglis, he announced his retirement from rugby league. He's now officially a former rugby league player.
Yeah, we heard the murmurs and the rumours over the weekend, but now it's true. It's quite sad. And I'll tell you exactly where he sits in the pecking order of centres. Very, very shortly.
Right next, in fact. This is the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. We're talking Greg Inglis up next. What a career it was.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
Greg Inglis has called time on his NRL career. This is the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
Trending now.
Today's the official announcement of my retirement, effective immediately. I'd like to thank everyone. There's so many people I can thank. My teammates here. They didn't have to come here today, but they did, and we chose the care of the club and care of the players. And you know, this club's given me everything. My former club gave me my start in Melbourne Storm, and there's no retirement due to mental illness or injuries or that. I just think it's time, and I think it's the right decision for myself. And it's been an incredible journey. I've done my first pre-season when I was 16. 32 years old now, and you know my body's, you know, it hasn't given up on me, but you know, I think it's, like I said, I think it's time for me, and it's the right decision for myself.
Yeah, we all heard murmurs and rumours that it was going to happen. When it happens, you kind of go, wow, that's sad. As far as centres go, before my time was Reg Gasnier, and everyone says he was the prince of centres, and then you've got, you know, Mick Cronin and Steve Rogers, who I saw both of them play, and they were fantastic centres, and obviously Mal Meninga, Steve Renouf. Mal was an imposing character on the field, and it was like having a forward in the back line. His career record is second to none. And Mal playing against had a presence. Like, when you knew Mal was on the field, you wouldn't run that way. I can only imagine playing against Greg Inglis on that left side as a centre. It'd be like having like a viper on the field, just ready to attack. Unpredictable. You don't know when he's coming. So for mine, and this is a hard decision to make, because Mal Meninga's record is second to none. But as far as athleticism goes and ability goes, Greg Inglis is the best centre I've ever seen play the game.
We've got some South fans who've called through. We're going to get to them very, very shortly. MG, 15 seasons, 263 first grade games, 5 grand finals, 3 premierships, admittedly 2 of those taken off him.
Yep.
Clive Churchill medal, 39 tests for Australia, 32 state of origin appearances for Queensland, 9 origin series victories, and he's the leading try scorer in Origin history, and a golden boot as well.
Yeah,
it's one hell of a CV.
That's an immortal CV.
You think he's an immortal waiting?
Well, if we think that Billy Slater and Cameron Smith and Jonathan Thurston are, well, he's got to be.
All right, let's get to Matt on the Gold Coast. Matt,
hello, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Hello, Matty. What are your thoughts on GI, brother?
Mate, it's like there's a part of me wants to mourn, but another part of me wants to celebrate his career because, as you guys just touched on, he's pretty unique in his achievements. And a lot of people, you know, talk about him being the best centre that's ever played the game, but when he won the Clive Churchill medal, he played 5'8 in that grand final. He just had so much ability and made his highlight reel. You could watch it. It'd go for half an hour. Just so many amazing highlights. I got to watch the 2014 grand final with my dad. My dad actually recorded Glory Glory to South Sydney back in 67. I've got a unique history with the club.
Wow.
And to be there with my dad watching that grand final, it's something I'll never forget. But when he scored that try and did the go-winner, you know, I get goosebumps just talking about it. But there were grown men in the stands that didn't even know each other that were hugging and crying. And I just see, you know, I can still think back to that day. There's some great photos of Greg Inglis hugging Michael Maguire when he's crying and all that sort of stuff. And they're memories you'll never forget.
Here's a little treat. You spoke of the Goanna, Matt. Here's a little treat for you.
And Keary makes a dart. Gets it all away to G.I. G.I.'s going to score. He's going to put another nail in the coffin. And the Goanna crawls down to the northern end. South Sydney players leaping on top of the pile. Incredible scenes.
Well, my brother had the good fortune to play with Greg Inglis when he first started in 2005 at Melbourne Storm, and he said, I've never seen an athlete like him, ever.
Let's go to Kelly in Little Bay. Kelly, you're a South fan?
I sure am.
Is it this could be Kelly with the South House. Is this Kelly who has a South House?
Certainly is.
Oh, hello, Kel. How are you, honey?
Hi, good, love. How are you?
Very well, Dar. What are your thoughts on your man retiring today?
Look, he's just the epitome of a true sportsman. He's done everything. He's played for Australia, he's played for his state. He's just done everything, but when the time's up, the time's up. Yeah. And he's the only one that can call it. No one else can.
He's very unselfish because he could have kept playing and getting one point, you know, the rest of the money, $1 million a year. He's already been paid $500,000 for this year, apparently, but he could have got 1.5 mil, played at 80%, and just, but what he did was very, very brave.
Well, yeah, and interesting you make that point, Kelly, because his nan told him when he said, I think I'm going to retire, his nan said to him, you've got to give it up someday. So now, before we go, it would be, we've called this man, it would be inappropriate for us to speak about a South legend hanging up the boots and not bring on the one and only Anthony Maroon for his take.
Maroon.
How are you, boys?
Oh, mate, we're a little bit nostalgic today when we see a young GI in the Storm jersey in the paper. Then we saw him in his South jersey suit today, looking very elegant in his suit.
Are you crying into the green and myrtle today, Maroon?
Well, Liam, like you both said, I'd had heard some very good mail that it was going to happen. So
that you didn't pass on to your mates here at the Rush.
Why don't you tell us, mate? If you knew, come on.
Well, you know, GI club is more important than work.
Yeah, that's right.
Club colours come before work. Yeah. But look, obviously you're just speaking to Kelly. She lives around the corner, and GI lives in this suburb as well. And you know, so I thought that it was appropriate. You know, you blokes don't need me to talk about his playing ability, but as a South man, just to give you some idea of what he meant to our club. Now, our club was privatised in 2006. Now, at that time, we started to get a few name players, had to pay overs for them, but we get them, and then we kind of got Roy Asatasi and then Sam Burgess, but Sam Burgess was a name overseas at the time. Then the end of 2010, South signed Greg Inglis. Now that was the first time in a long time that a blue chip rugby league player wanted to come and play at South. He was leaving Melbourne, turned his back on the Broncos so he could play for South.
Good point.
And that not only for us supporters, we said, hang on a second, you know, maybe this bloody Russell Crowe and Richo, maybe these guys know what they're doing, you know. We are getting one off the big clubs, you know, off the big boys. And I'd have thought we were back on the way to being one of the big boys again. And, of course, then he played a couple of seasons here, 2012 and 13. We nearly made the grand final, 2014. They did make the grand final, won the grand final, but that's the part he plays. We have a wonderful, wonderful club full of characters on and off the field, And he is just another one of the beautiful chapters in this wonderful story.
And importantly, Maroon,
you are a beautiful chapter.
You're a beautiful part of it, but he's importantly going to stay involved with the club. Maroon, thank you for giving us some of your time. We've got to let you go, though, because Hugh Bowman's waiting, and he rode a horse called Winx on the weekend that we want to talk about.
Righto, boys. Glory, glory.
See you, mate.
Anthony Maroon, this is the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. From one legend to another, Hugh Bowman joins us next.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. The Triple M Rush Hour, you turn your skills into a nationally recognised qualification. Take the free skills check at skillscertified.com.au. MG, sing the song for him.
Get your skills certified with Johnny and Scotty.
She's gone for home already, Winks. She beats up home.
We get the fairy tale finale to the best story in the history of the sport.
The voice of Darren Flindell there calling Winx, the supermare, in her final ever race. MG, she was triumphant, and the man who was aboard and steered her around to safety win her final race of her career joins us on the line, Hugh Bowman. Hugh, first off, congratulations to you on what must be one of the most fantastic moments of your career.
Yeah, absolutely, Liam. It's been an amazing journey, to be honest with you, and it's something that's obviously built and developed over a long period of time now. So we're all very proud of her and what she's been able to do and what she's done for us, those of us involved with her, and you know, those people that aren't involved with her, what she's done for them too. It's been just an incredible story.
I suppose, Huey, we all heard about, you know, the feats of Donald Bradman and Farlap way before we were born, and Now our kids and their mates are starting. They've enjoyed Winx's ride for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's something that everyone remembers where they'll be when she had her last ride at Randwick, where basically 43,000 people just were in a frenzy when you went over to the crowd and showed her off. And it's one of them things that I think will stick with us forever and ever.
Yeah, I think so. There's been a few moments throughout her illustrious career that stand out for me. And I rode at Randwick. I rode in the race at Black Caviar, had her last race, and you know, the grandstand wasn't able to take full capacity then because it only just was still in the development stage, and they were lined the fence along Allison Road, and I wondered if they would do the same thing, and they did. So look, it's just been incredible, and yeah, like I said, we're so proud of her.
How has the lip pulled up, Huey? For those that missed it, you went down to give her just a bit of a kiss post-race, and she gave you one. How's the lip held up a couple of days later?
Well, it's just as well I'm on radio and not on TV, because I wasn't that hard, but yeah, she got me pretty good, but it serves me right for sticking my beak in the way. A last parting Liverpool kiss she gave me as we said goodbye, but no, I'm looking forward to going and seeing her in the near future. Christine and I have taken the kids away for a few days this week before I come back for the finale, the Sydney Autumn Carnival in All Age Stakes Day next weekend. But it's been a lot of pressure, a lot of emotion, a lot of expectation, and the fact that Winx has been able to deliver in the manner we expected she would is very humbling.
Huey, let's for a second chat about Chris Waller. Other trainers may have had the urge to try and enter Winx in the Melbourne Cup. He kind of knew her capabilities, and the fact that he didn't over race her, I think, has led to the horse she is today. Where does he sit as far as the best trainers of all time go?
He's up there, isn't he? I mean, the record speaks for itself. He's now trained 101 Group 1 winners. He just keeps breaking new boundaries, looking down the barrel of breaking Bart Cummings' all-time record of 21 Group 1 wins in a season. So, you know, the numbers don't lie, and Chris has been an ornament to the racing game since he began, and, you know, to work closely with him for so long has been a privilege, and, you know, I think we've certainly helped each other through the journey of Winx. In fact, I'm sure of it, you know, to think that a horse like her has come into my life or our lives. Yeah, I've got a pinch myself. I still don't think it's sunken in, to be perfectly honest.
Well, we talk about great sporting partnerships, MG, but Waller, Winx and Bowman is a sporting threesome that I don't think Australia will forget anytime soon. Hugh Bowman, we love having you on the show. You're welcome anytime. Enjoy the time off with your family, and we look forward to seeing you back on track soon.
Thanks, Liam. Thanks, Mark.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. All right, MG, that's two. That's Greg Inglis, retirement, we've covered. That's Winks winning her 33rd race. We've still got another one to go.
Wow, what a trifecta.
We've got to talk Tiger Woods Masters victory next with Fox League's Ben Eichen, who was on the 18th green.
Oh, Benny Bucket List, we'll call him.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. MG, we've got another giveaway coming up a bit later on in the show.
Gee, we love giving things away on the show, don't we?
Giving things away.
It's good, but
it is fantastic. It's a ridiculous prize, MG. Basically, it's for you and a mate to head on up to Magic Ground in Brisbane. You get flights, accommodation, and you get 3-day passes.
Wow.
For all the games. So that's coming up in about 15 minutes' time. But
so stay tuned.
We have to talk about this.
The millions around the world have waited for. Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory.
And just beautifully called. Oh, and yeah. The understated call there by Jim Nance, it was spectacular. His 15th major. The hunt for Jack Nicklaus on 18 all up is back on.
The return of glory.
The return of glory.
Yeah.
it was spectacularly called. And one man who we normally see him on NRL 360. Currently, Yvonne Sampson is filling in for him with Kenty.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out on Fox League. But he's over at Augusta.
Yeah.
Ben Eichen. Ben, how are you feeling after what was one of the most unforgettable moments in golfing history?
Still floating, to be honest with you. I booked this trip with a mate of mine, and I think probably that middle of last year, we started to make the comment, imagine if next year when we go to the Masters, Tiger's in contention, how good it would be. Well, we were there today. I was on the 18th green, just 10 metres back, watched him sink that final putt. I was standing 2 metres from his family as he walked off the green to watch him hug his kids. It was magical. It was surreal. And more than anything, when you throw in the prestige of Augusta National Golf Club, the legend that is the US Masters plus Tiger's victory, it was an absolute privilege.
Benny, can you describe the gallery once that final putt went in?
It built up through the whole week, but today it just went to another level, because when I first stepped out onto the course on Tuesday practice round, you know, the rumours are going around the course, and we're hearing that Tiger might be practicing. We're hearing that Tiger might just be about to tee off 2 minutes, 20 minutes, 2 hours. He didn't even turn up, but the whispers had started. Then by the time you get to round four, Tiger in contention, I actually followed Tiger and his group around the course. You can't do every hole because the crowds get too big, so you've got to be a bit strategic about where you place yourself. So I was at 15 when he sunk his birdie. I thought, Tiger's going to win this thing. So I started to get myself back to the 18th green, and by the time I sort of got about halfway, I heard the roar from 16 when he stiffed that tee shot to within a foot and a half, which would ultimately lead to his birdie. I heard the roar, and then by the time I got to 18, I'm standing with thousands of people around the 18th green who are all preparing themselves for Tiger to win this thing on the final hole. And then, of course, you've got the 18th green scoreboard. So I've heard the roar about Tiger making his birdie. No one really knows. But then what the scorer does, he builds the anticipation for all the people on 18th green. He puts Tiger's score up, most recent score, and it showed that he got the birdie on 16. They went absolutely nuts. It was like a party. You know, it's hard to describe. So you can imagine by the time that he walks up 18 green, makes that putt to win it, just how excited everybody was. It was like all of Augusta, almost all of the world was there to see it. Every golf fan on the planet wanted him to win, and he did, so we got what we wanted.
Yeah.
Benny, I suppose every person listening to this interview who loves their golf dreams about going to Augusta for the Masters as one of their bucket list items. Did it live up to expectations?
More. It's because the legend of Augusta has been so built up. If you're a golf fan, you often wonder, by the time you arrive, you know, is it going to be a bit of a letdown? But it was everything I expected and more. I actually bumped a what they call a four caddy on the practice round and ended up having a bit of a chat to him. And there'd been a bit of weather on that Tuesday. And I said, mate, I've just been around the course all day and it's pretty torn up, all the walking tracks, etc. This is not the fairways of the greens. This is just where all the fans walk by. There have been thousands of fans through in the mud and crowding. He said, "Can I just tell you something?" He said, "This evening, under floodlights, there will be 60 staff per hole working through the night to get this place back in ship-shape condition." He said, "When you come through the gates tomorrow, despite everything that's been done to the course today, there will not be a pine needle out of place tomorrow morning." So I turned up, and true to word, it was exactly as he said. It was in pristine condition.
Ben Eichen from Fox League and NRL 360, you are the envy of a lot of people back here in Australia right now, but glad you enjoyed yourself, and can't wait to see you back on our TV screens.
It was much fun, but I can't wait to get back to Australia.
Go on, Benny.
He did a very good job as well.
Oh, he's fantastic. He loves his golf. Mm. I think he's a single marker as well. So he's
standing
really good...
the low single. He knows how to hit him.
They reckon that Augusta is like the Truman Show. Basically, everything's done, as Benny just said, strategically. Mm. And just on Tiger, 2 years ago, he was ranked 1199 in the world after having his second spinal fusion. The comeback just can't be spoken about enough.
It is one of the all-time greats.
Oh, wow.
It's the Rush Hour with MG. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Bit of Brian Ferry gets MG's head bobbing, apparently.
Let's stick together, baby.
Hey, up next, we've got to talk. There's more stories to talk about, MG. Oh, we've got to talk about Israel Folau. We've got to talk about the World Cup cricket squad.
Michael Checker's waiting.
Not enough hours in the day.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. In case you missed it, the first half of this show, MG, we have been talking about three of the biggest sporting moments of the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, and they've all happened in the last 48 hours. Winks, Tiger Woods, and now Greg Inglis retiring from rugby league.
An amazing trifecta of sporting emotion.
Now, we're going to rattle through a couple of other stories that have been making news today, which we have to, of course, touch on. Israel Folau. This is Raylene Castle, Rugby Australia boss, speaking today on the latest. Obviously, for those not aware, Israel Folau late last week, posted a discriminatory post on his social media. This is what Raylene Castle, the boss of rugby union, had to say today.
They served Israel Folau with a breach notice over the posts on social media platforms Twitter and Instagram on April 10. Rugby Australia Integrity Unit deemed that Israel had committed a high-level breach of the Professional Players Code of Conduct, warranting termination of his employment contract.
Israel Folau now has 48 hours to respond to that breach notice, MG, and then we wait and see. So, we play a bit of a waiting game.
Yeah, well, that's the first we've heard of the boss, Raylene Castle, so... Basically, that's what we all wanted to hear, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think Israel's made his intentions pretty clear by sticking the middle finger up at Union for the second time in 12 months.
Yep, and Michael Checker and Michael Hooper, the captain and the coach of the Wallabies, both made a press conference today, and Michael Checker basically said in so many words he won't be picking him. So
that's right.
So that is that story. The other story that is before the courts, in some respect, is Jack DeBellum from the Dragons.
Yep.
We are going to speak to Paul Vaughan on our show tomorrow, but just an update on that story. Jack DeBellum, it's the first day one of a 3-day hearing regarding his stand-down policy by the NRL. His lawyer has made the case today that it's an unfair and overly harsh, and draconian is the word he used, MG, the penalty.
Watch this space. Paul McGregor said that if he gets over it, he's playing this weekend.
Mary McGregor has come out and said he'll play him. So, and lastly, we need to quickly talk about the Australian World Cup squad, because there's two big ins and two significant outs. The outs,
yes.
Peter Hanscom and Josh Hazlewood have both been, or not part of the World Cup squad.
Hazlewood's, I thought Hanscom might have been omitted because Steve Smith and Warner are back.
Mm.
But yeah, I thought... Hazelwood's one of our best one-day bowlers, and he must be carrying some niggling injuries, I reckon.
I think they're prioritising him for the Ashes. For the Ashes.
Yeah, I think so.
Because let's be honest, that's what matters most. But...
It does.
Steve Smith and Dave Warner, both back in the Australian World Cup side.
Yeah, and I think we all expected them to be.
Mm. You happy?
Are you happy?
I'm happy.
I'm always happy.
Hey, your chance now. Right, this is the giveaway we're doing today.
This is an amazing prize, by the way. Magic round up at Suncorp.
One round, one ground, 16 teams, 8 games, the NRL Magic Round at Suncorp Stadium. Get your tickets at nrl.com/tickets. Now, the way this is going to work, you don't win this prize today. You can win this prize on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
What winning does today
Gets you through the next level, man.
It gets you through. You then become a carryover champion tomorrow.
That's right.
And if you win all the way through to Thursday, you will be winning this amazing prize. Now, we're about to play you an audio grab. You need to tell us what year this event occurred in, all right? Here is the audio grab.
Inglis is in position. It is Inglis. He sets it. He hits it. Referee, Tony Archer. They're jumping for joy, Melbourne. They've won the title, you would have to think.
Got any ideas, MJ?
Yep.
All right, 1-3-3-5-3. If you know what year that bit of audio is from, give us a call now. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
Everything you need to know in the world of sport. And the occasional bit about Bert Atomic.
No one likes him anymore.
Triple M's Rush Hour with MG.
And MG, we are giving away the chance for people to head up to Brisbane with a mate for 3 days, flights and accommodation paid for, to NRL Magic Round.
Wow.
One round, one ground, 16 teams, 8 games. At Suncorp Stadium.
Did you make that up then? One ground.
No, I'm reading it for sure. Get your tickets at nrl.com/tickets. All right, this was the moment. People need to tell us what year this moment is from.
Inglis is in position. It is Inglis. He sets it. He hits it. Referee, Tony Archer. They're jumping for joy, Melbourne. They've won the title, you would have to think.
Now, MJ, do you know what year it is?
Yes, I do.
All right, so you'll tell our listeners whether they're right or not.
Yep, who we got first?
We got Brendan in Camden. Brendan, what year do you think that was?
2008.
MG, is he right?
No, you're not, Brendo.
Oh, sorry, Brendan.
Sorry, brother.
Sorry, Brendan.
Can we go to...
Adam in Emu Plains.
Adam. G'day, Ad.
Yeah.
What year do you think there that... You what year was that, Adam?
I reckon 2009.
MG, is he right?
He certainly is.
Congratulations, Adam. Now, Adam, this doesn't mean you've won yet.
No.
Because we don't like to do things simple and straightforward here. What this means now, Adam, is that tomorrow we'll have another moment for you. You get first guess.
Yes.
If you get it right tomorrow, then you go to Wednesday. If you get it right on Wednesday, then you go to Thursday. And if you get it right on Thursday, this prize is yours.
One round, one ground. But if you don't get it right, well, all our other listeners have a chance to cut your leg out from under you, baby. I hope he does get it right. Come on, Ad.
Yeah, come on, Adam. We're right behind you here. It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Up next, MEG time.
Oh, my goodness.
Performance of the weekend. Oh. You know what? I'm not letting you sit on the fence either. You have to pick one.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. We do it for skill certified tradies. Seriously, if you're looking to get that next level of qualification, go and see these blokes. Skillcertified.com.au. They know what they're talking about. They're the best at what they do.
They'll make it so much easier for you. So much easier.
So much easier. MG, I'm knackered. That is a Monday.
That is a massive Monday, a manic Monday, a mad Monday.
No, it's not a mad Monday. Otherwise, we'll have cameras trained on us. It was an amazing weekend of sport, and it means it's time to do...
The MEG, which you're looking for the button, aren't you?
I'm trying to find your opener. Someone's moved my buttons around. Can you start singing the Oscar music for me?
Dun, dun, dun. Just on the Oscars. No, I've got to get home and watch Game of Thrones. The last series starts tonight. I've recorded it from 11 o'clock. I've had no spoilers all day. I haven't looked at anything.
Do you want me to tell you what happened?
No, I don't want to. That's why. Block.
I found it. All right, MG. What was your performance of the weekend?
Wow. Three special moments. As I said, what a sporting trifecta has been this week of emotion. Greg Inglis today brings an end to his 263-game stellar career. Tiger Woods fighting back from 2 years ago. He was ranked 1199th in the world. He's now sixth. But I think there's more to come from Tiger. And we're going to see GI around the traps a lot more, but we're not going to see the Supermare ever again.
Mm.
The Mighty Winx. So this week's MEG goes to the best horse that I've ever seen. Probably the best horse we'll ever seen. 33 in a row, 25 group ones. Winxy, baby.
For home already, Winx. She beats off Hartmoor. Kluger going up the inside. Happy Clubber can't go on. Winx is 2 lengths clear. Kluger sticks on. Then came Hartmoor. But she's well clear.
we get the fairy tale finale to the best story in the history of the sport.
We spoke to Darren Flindell, the caller of that race last week, and he said the way Winx runs, I'm guaranteed to get some time to send her off properly, and he did. It was a fantastic call. Where did you watch the race?
I watched it at home.
You were sitting at home?
I was at home with all my family, and we stopped what we were doing, and and it resonates from my 11-year-old up to my 24-year-old.
Mm.
They all love, like, Winx, and they're in between, and the kids have all been in the races to see her, and just to say that they saw the great Winx.
Mm.
You went to the races.
I went along on Saturday. I went with my wife and my daughter, who's 2.5, and my brother-in-law and my father-in-law. My wife had flown him down for the race. He loves his racing.
Fantastic.
I think it was a birthday present, and he welled up. He won't like me sharing this on radio, but he's in Queensland, so he can't hear
this. You said he's bawling his eyes out, didn't you?
He genuinely welled up.
Yeah, well, it's emotional.
He was, and he was not the only one in our vicinity, MG.
Anyone listening to this chat right now, who went to Randwick on Saturday, would say, "Yep, I'm with you."
Yeah,
because I could imagine
I got a little lump in my throat when she went. But we were at about the 200-meter marker, and when she went past us, I got a little lump in my throat. And I thought, it is amazing.
Mm,
and that's the beauty of sport.
It is. It's fantastic. We've just seen an amazing weekend of sport. It started with Winx on Saturday, then Tiger Woods this morning. If you start up all night like I did, you'd be very tired right now. But if you woke up to the news, because it started at 11 o'clock, got bored early because of the thunderstorm warning.
Yeah.
And then today we said goodbye to one of the future immortals. So, it's been an amazing few days of sport.
We haven't even got to talk about the games from the weekend that much. We're going to do that tomorrow.
Teamless Tuesday.
Paul Vaughan from the Dragons will join us, and we will break down, because you've got some big takeaways from the weekend of footy.
I've got some massive takeaways.
You're not happy with your own mob, the Penny Panthers.
No, they'll lift butt.
But you're very impressed with another team.
I am very impressed with other teams. A couple of other teams.
Tell us which one quickly.
Raiders.
Okay.
Oh, they could win it all.
Oh.
They could win it all, baby. I said it. There you go.
We're going to go.
He's Liam. I'm MG. Stay random, Sydney.
You've used your skills to download the Triple M Rush Hour Catch-Up podcast. Turn your skills into a nationally recognised qualification. Check out skillscertified.com.au.